Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast, a listener-supported program. This episode is for March 14th, 2014, and is a conversation with Ben Wise about a new pricing model that he and Wilson have developed for when they offer PDCs and other courses. As there is an introduction in the conversation with Ben, I have nothing more to say right now, but we'll join you afterwards with some thoughts and updates. Now then, on to Ben.
I'm sitting again with Ben Wise not long after I spoke with him and Wilson on our last interview, and we're continuing the conversation a little about teaching permaculture and offering permaculture classes, because all of us share a core desire for permaculture to be accessible and for people to be able to make a living from it in a meaningful way, and trying to balance those two sides of that equation. And Ben and Wilson have developed a model that's making permaculture incredibly accessible to their students from a financial standpoint, and I wanted to hear more about that both for my own understanding and to share with the rest of you.
I developed this model based on my early experiences teaching PDCs, where the PDCs were fairly expensive. They were $1,000, and these were non-residential PDCs. They were $1,000, or I taught a few residential PDCs that were more in the neighborhood of like $1,500 to $2,000. They weren't well attended, and in a lot of cases, I was making deals with people just to get the attendance up. I was making deals with people, I was doing like work trades and barters, and was offering scholarships that had no monetary backing. They were just, we'll chop $400 off your tuition. And after doing that for 2 years, 3 years, you know, what I saw was that I didn't feel like I was being paid fairly to teach these classes based on the amount of work that I had to put into them, that they were not accessible to people because they were expensive, and that tuition structure just wasn't working. So I came up with this structure where we make a budget for a class, and it's a pretty simple budget, and you know, I'm happy to make that public because there's, you know, there's nothing tricky about it. It's got the honorariums for the teachers. It's got some honorariums for guest teachers. It's got a supplies budget, and any kind of like advertising that I do, I just, you know, goes under the supplies budget. It's got an administrative fee, and that is for whoever is doing all of the registration and answering all the emails and all the questions. Because, you know, again, in my experience, I actually do as much, if not more, work for a PDC doing that kind of administrative stuff before the class starts than the actual amount of work that I do to teach the class. So I put an administrative fee into the budget, and then rent for whatever space that we're using. And that's because, you know, based on the ethics of permaculture, everybody involved should be getting paid fairly. You know, the place that's hosting the class should be getting paid. And the basic premise of this system is that if the budget doesn't get met, the class doesn't happen. And in all of the advertising in the course details packet that I send out, it says that in bold writing, you know, if we don't meet this budget, the class is going to be canceled. And, you know, there's a deadline. It's like 3 weeks before the class would be hosted. So then the next piece of this structure is this sliding tuition scale based on how many students are in the class. Like, for example, what we've used for our PDCs is based on the maximum amount that we would like somebody to have to pay, we set the minimum number of students at 10. And for example, the PDC that we're offering that's about to start, which now is full because this structure is working really, really well for us. This is the second big class in a row that's just completely full. The maximum tuition that someone would have to pay is $800. And that's if there are only 10 students in the class, and that's the minimum. The minimum that somebody would have to pay to take the class is $400, and that's based on if there are 20 students that register for the class. And then in there are 9 other price levels. So if 11 students take the class, it's a little less than $800. And if 12 students takes the class, it's even a little bit less than that. And it's all prorated based on how many students are in the course. The other thing that this does is it puts a little bit of an obligation on people who want to take the class to recruit other people to take the class, because everybody wants the price to drop. It helps minimize the work that we have to do to advertise the class and to recruit people. Then even beyond that, it actually, I'm finding, helps to build the community that inevitably is created during a PDC before the PDC even starts, because we have a Facebook page where every time somebody new registers, we announce that and we tell everybody, you know, that their tuition has dropped to this number, and everybody's on there saying, yay, hooray. You can see all the people that are signing up. And again, people are recruiting their friends to take the class. So it's getting the students involved in the budgeting of the class right off the bat. It's working so well for us. The advanced class that we're in the middle of teaching right now, we set the max at 20. There's 23 students in, because really once that tuition got down pretty low and there were only like two or three more slots available, and I announced the tuition is now down for that class down to like $375, there was just this cascade of emails from people who wanted to take the class. And, you know, we ultimately decided, fine, we're going to let, you know, three extra people in. And now the PDC that we're about to launch is at 20, and there's at least another 10 people who've inquired about taking it. And, you know, we decided that we'll actually increase the maximum to 25. The caveat being that we're not going to continue to drop the tuition for everybody. It will be the minimum of 400 for that, but we'll be able to pay the guest teachers a little bit more. We'll be able to invest in some more long-term equipment for our classes and whatnot. There are a few other nuances of how this thing works, like taking deposits from people. What we're doing is we're taking, everybody has to pay a deposit of the potentially minimum tuition. And then if tuition is higher than that, based on there not being the maximum number of students, then on the first day of class, they have to show up to pay, you know, whatever the overhead that they didn't pay before is. And that helps us guarantee that, say, on the first day of class, three of those people who registered didn't show up, which means A, we didn't meet our budget, and B, all the students who did show up have to pay a higher level than what they expected to pay. So that's a non-refundable, you know, minimum tuition deposit. And nobody's going to give us a deposit of $400 and then not show up on the first day of class.
I won't say that I'm going to steal this model, but I'm certainly going to borrow some of these elements moving forward, because this sounds like a real easy way to offer a sliding scale to your students, but it's dependent on the students themselves interacting and being active members of the class.
Yeah, it does create, you know, that interaction. And I mean, I'm not worried about people stealing this model. I'm on your show broadcasting it to the world. I am happy for anybody to be using this model because it's working so well for us, and people want to contact me and get more information about how it works. That's fine. I could make some of the documents available that you could put into the show notes so that people can see some examples of our budget. And even though the system seems complex at first, I am finding that at least 2/3 of the people who contact me to register appear to have read through the details, understood it, and, you know, are responding appropriately. Of course, there are people who I have to explain to them, you know, hey, we need you to pick out the maximum that you're willing to pay, and I need you to let me know and send a deposit and whatnot. But it is working really well. I'm happy to share it with people.
Before we started recording, the three of us were discussing, you know, making permaculture more accessible. What are the different models that we can produce in order to make permaculture available to people, between offering online classes, hybrid classes, you know, weekend courses, the intensive? And what I like about what you've presented and why I want to use that is because it can be equitable for everyone involved in a meaningful way. There's no writing a budget and then having to worry about whether or not you're going to make that money and then having to take a hit somewhere else. That you could, like with your administrative fee, from my own work, one of the things that's important to me is being able to pay the goodwill of others forward to other individuals, because of those moments where if you have a student who you can't offer a monetary scholarship to, but you want to give them a slot, then being able to make sure that your needs are also met while making these others, and being able to set an amount of money that you have to raise also allows you, you can follow the money, Wilson, as you said, to know, well, how much is someone making from this class? What is it being used for? And just ensuring that everyone is taken care of during that process. More transparency, more honesty, openness along the way.
Yeah. And we are setting the honorarium that we want to make. We're saying, you know, this is how much I need to make to teach this course. Now, like I said, if more people sign up than our maximum, we might end up making a few hundred dollars extra. But it's not like we're raking in, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. We're setting ourselves a reasonable honorarium based on the amount of work that we're going to do. And that honorarium is also a minimum, basically. So we're saying, you know, I'm not going to teach this class if I can't get paid what I think is fair for me to teach it. I also developed one of these for a residential course where we built in room and board into the tuition. And we even built in scales based on different rooms costing different prices. And it worked out just fine. So I have an Excel spreadsheet that I can make available to people if they want to take a look and see how, you know, how these different models would work.
And I think about where I've wanted to go, because I would like to be able to pay graduates of one of my courses to come back and be teaching assistants, to pay them for the value of their time to get that practical experience, and also, again, be able to pay forward to other teachers to have them come on. This online world is a very kind of strange place to try to teach within. To have people who interact with students teach there, provide me feedback as a teacher, and be able to pay legitimate honorariums to them for that time. And it helps to build all of these different structures to show people that you can do something with this, that permaculture can be a legitimate model to earn an income from while still having enough resources left to pay other people for their time.
Yeah, when I took my teacher training with Sandy Cruz, Goodhart Brown, and Peter Bain, and that was, I guess, 5 years ago at this point, they all said that there are very few people anywhere who can make a living solely as a permaculture teacher, and that it just wasn't happening very much. And, you know, I kind of left that course saying to myself, that can't be true. Like, there has to be a way for people to make a living teaching permaculture. And this sliding tuition model is part of how, you know, Will and I are paying ourselves a reasonable rate to teach these courses. You know, and even beyond that, if I look at what I make to teach this course by breaking it down to an hourly rate, it's more than what I ethically need to make to live. But that enables me to spend all of the time learning and practicing permaculture that I'm not actually getting paid for, that makes me a good teacher. Like, when I go out for a hike on a Saturday afternoon and spend 4 hours out in the woods with my face and my field guide, nobody's paying me for that. But I can legitimize that as part of my work because I was making, say, $25 an hour teaching the PDC, which isn't absurd, but I live simply, thankfully, because I've learned so much through permaculture. I don't actually need to make a huge amount of money. So, you know, I think it's a very reasonable system. Like I said, I'm happy to share it. I'm really glad that it's working for us. And I would also be glad to have some input from other people, especially in the realm of fundraising for scholarships.
Wilson, though you have nothing to add, thank you for being a part of this process and helping to develop the system with Ben.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks.
Do either of you have any last thoughts on this system and the work that you're doing before we draw this short piece to a close?
I just want to reiterate that I'm happy to be, you know, in communication with people about this and even making it a better system. So that's it.
Well, I'll share this information with everyone so that we can all, the body of the permaculture community, can work on developing and making this kind of a system better. So thank you both.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.
And that was Ben Wise. This model that he presented, I really like, as you heard, because of the way that it makes permaculture more affordable and more accessible. I'm planning to use this model the next time that I offer online PDCs, as I've been getting quite a few people asking me for more information about those. I plan to release something next week that details the two different course offerings that I'm looking to move forward with, as well as when courses will start and when and how to register. This is also going to be the last short episode before our deadline to name them. So please go to the Facebook page for the Permaculture Podcast, facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast, and browse down to March 3rd, and you'll see that the short shows need a name. Go there, leave your response. We're going to tally those up and put them together to be voted on with the next short show. To go with that,
Though I've been regular about getting these little tidbits out, I'm not going to guarantee right now that they're going to happen every day, Monday through Friday, but will happen as I'm able to put them out there. I've also gotten some feedback about these. Many of you love them. Others are more interested in just the long format interviews. And because of that, once the shows get named, I'm thinking of moving the shorter episodes off to a different feed or even a different website, and to see whether or not it's worth separating out into two different feeds, or if there just need to be some adjustments on the number of short shows versus the hour-long episodes. But we'll get all that figured out. Also, if you get this over the weekend, Monday morning, March 17th, I will be interviewing Ben Law, author of The Woodland Way, and numerous other books on woodlands, round pole timber framing, building the woodland house. So if you have any questions, I'm going to be posting a note about this on the Facebook page. You can go there and post any questions that you might have for him, or of course send me an email, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com, or give me a call and leave voicemail. I won't be answering my phone over the weekend. 717-827-6266. Leave your notes there, and I will include them in the conversation with Ben if I am able. And that interview gets recorded at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday, March 17th. So get those in if you'd like to. You can also use that phone number or email address in order to contact me for anything else. If there is a way that I can help you on your permaculture path, I will gladly do so. Please feel free to reach out to me if there's any way we can work together. And I think that's going to bring this episode to a close for now. And I'll speak with you again soon. In the meantime, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.